everyone. So let's have another discussion. This is, I guess, our penultimate discussion, our last one, which will be the wrap up by Rob. The end of this and end of today. So I guess the questions. So let me just try to think about, or let's try to think about some topics of discussion. So one thing that I don't know, maybe I missed it, but maybe somebody has something to say about it. Is dark matter. I feel somehow I have a feeling that there will be more about dark matter we're going to hear. Okay, do you want to talk about the discussion?
Yeah.
Okay, good. Sorry.
No problem. But I think we had we owe it to Daniel. He actually asked a question that was part of the discussion. How to merge different extensions.
Sorry.
I was giving true to my promise to come back to the.
How to merge different models, right? So you've been working on the perturbative model.
We've been working on certain models,
yeah.
Right, where the models consists in adding certain sets of fermions. These fermions have charges under standard model gauge groups of some sort. Okay.
This. You have first
some
of
these. Thanks, Francesco.
I have someone else who you say.
Yeah. Okay, and so that's kind of the primary driver. Okay, and so of course, we in that extension, we were mostly interested in finding ideally charitably controlled extensions of the standard model to the extent that fixed points are generated, which remain, in some sense, weakly coupled, okay? Now, of course, one always has to be a little bit careful here with what is meant by perturbative, right? Let me explain. In those exact proofs which we have available there by construction, you enforce perturbativity at the expense of very many freedom, okay, large N, but then gauge couplings are under strict perturbative control and you can make them as small as you want. However, in real life, we don't have normally many particles, so you will be stuck with finite NF and also finite NC because this is what the standard model is, okay? So perturbativity in that context meant you have to make a choice up until which size of gauge couplings you would be willing to trust your result, which is the investigation we genuinely were putting forward back then. Okay? So in that sense, something similar is happening, as far as I can see, in the large NF type approximations. Because what you're doing in the large NF is you make a resummation, okay? You get some Toft-type coupling, which takes numerically small values, but the result comes from really resumming infinitely many loops, okay? So, though the coupling is technically or numerically even small, okay, there is an aspect of non-perturbativity in there. Yes, we are well aware of that, and you are, okay? Yes. So it is not excluded that something similar may happen actually if you kind of generate a fixed point in a slightly different way because you use the root via, say, you cover interactions. Okay? And an interesting question certainly will be, since we're discussing these things right now, interesting question will certainly be to figure out whether these weakly or perturbatively controlled fixed points actually persist. Yes, to stronger coupling, or whether once you go to stronger couplings, novel routes towards the generation of UV fixed points might open up which are not accessible and we come. Okay? It's good to, at least from my perspective, it's good to have an anchor somewhere, and certainly in perturbation theory, because that's really the territory where everybody is familiar with, right? So to know some things solidly over there, I think, is very useful. But then, of course, the real world question is, can we go away from that point, okay, by making multiplicities low, okay, have more strongly coupled system, and yet, okay, maybe be guided by what we learn from weak coupling, okay, or possibly even observing that something new happens at strong coupling, which ain't visible at weak coupling. So we have seen things like that. So, okay, I mean, for example, Astrid's model, Astrid's dark matter model, was one of those models where we do know that these type of models certainly don't have a weakly coupled fixed point. Okay, so there is potentially a mechanism and a phenomenon, okay, for something able to suddenly kick in, yes, owing to, say, more strongly coupled effects, right? So one ought to be, we should keep the possibility of that, yes, in mind. Anyway, I didn't want to make a big speech here, right? but I think, say, since we've now seen the spotlight on several, say, corners and having control somewhere, I think it will be very useful to start maybe trying to connect these.
So I summarize some of your points here, like you have perturbative fields to a fixed point. You need to have high dimensional representations to be able to actually keep it perturbative, remember correctly. And however, you did not discuss the Higgs self-coupling. I mean, he wasn't safe yet.
I don't think that is in any point different to the model which Robert, you discussed today. Is that right?
Well, actually, we tried.
Yeah, no, but the point is that I did see the plot, but since you put the finger you put the finger very neatly on it, let me do the same. I don't know what you're saying there, but
You looked at Yukawa and the Higgs coupling, but you didn't look at the self coupling.
Oh, we did look in the
same. But they were not. They did not have fixed points.
They don't have fixed points in exactly the same sense as Robert explained today. In exactly the same sense that Robert explained today, that your models don't have a fixed point for the physical Higgs.
Yeah, in the case of Steve, we do have.
Okay. Yeah. For an unphysical Higgs, we also have that fixed point, if that's the point you're
trying
to make.
But in the case of Steve, for example, we have a completely different approach. So can we just summarize the approaches? I would say bad and good things about both approaches, not all approaches, not just that. So let's summarize the approaches of Steve. Maybe Steve wants to summarize.
So what would be the good points and the bad points?
The good points and bad points.
Yeah.
I mean, I'd say generally the approach with ours is to use symmetry breaking, radiative symmetry breakers, but as you flow down, in order to remove all of the extra states that you don't want. But compared to the other thing where you're adding fermions, the only difference is, I mean, I'm kind of comparing it to n equals one supersymmetry duality cascade type of thing. The only difference I can see is that, one, you put the masses by hand, and in ours you want to generate the veil. It's kind of like magnetic versus electric SQCD, if I'm doing.
So, there is a difference from all the other approaches. Here there was radiative symmetry. Okay?
Yeah, I mean, the possible advantage is that, as we're discussing at some point, is possibly you can do Coleman-Weinberg in the radiative. But that's a big.
The Higgs automatically has a fixed point because we go in a new perturbative ultraviolet fixed point. So, here all the couplings are safe. But it's not, because we start from a material like ours, and then we break it down. So this here, we don't have to worry about so much about that. Maybe that's more complicated than the symmetry breaking, but we could do this. In that sense, it was not the best you can do, but something. It was, you know, it was almost realistic, I would say.
So yeah, you're sort of led to the same Patti Salam thing that you're led to in the other case, really.
All right. Then there is, sometimes it's not because I'm feeling good. But the idea to start extending the solar model with an asymptotic thing was in the 2015, when I was asked by CERN to say why you want to study
the running of the Kappen constants, so actually start arguing that you could have a safe extension rather than a free extension. It's actually a little short note on how you can envision doing that by having better life fairness. To the best of my understanding, it was the first time. I haven't seen that before. This was 2015. It's often forgotten that, but it's the first time where you envision a safe theory for the running.
By the first example of that method that would be safe, which is not an extension, it was actually in 2015. To my understanding, that was the first time where phenomenology was done
in a consistent way. And enough. We can all ask.
So that I can claim because, you know, there is a time stamp on it. So it doesn't, you know, they also published. It doesn't really matter.
And you know, so here in terms of the idea to set a standard model and make it safe, this is the first. Then there were, you know, some attempts, but these were as successful as this. This is using the large N and large NF, truly believing the large N and large NF, and using the large N. This is the first example where the large N and large NF actually was used in practice. And then the first example where the 1 over NF limit was taken was the paper with Robert, the G-Ways, and so on. So this is an alternative with that. It's actually, I would like to say that, not because I want to serve these more than others, if it is minimal, you just add better life firms, so there's nothing else. You don't have to worry about your Yukawas, you don't have to worry. I mean, this approach is a little bit more, you know, like also this. Eventually, you need something like that anyway, from what I could see. Because even the paper with Steve, we can really do it with this. And the paper with Alberto, it was also basically motivated by this other paper too. Right? We never really thought about that, if we're not the paper at large, NF with the G-Way and no. Right? So the 1 over NF approach is minimal to the extent that just it's so cheap to add the vector like fairness in the fundamental representation of the group. It's very, very cheap. So you just have to tell me a number, that's it. So in terms of being cheap,
in the paper with Steve, you have also done the Patti Salam.
No.
This is
no, but the technical is Patti Salam. I mean,
what Steve says is morally is Patti Salam.
Everything, so you know, you have SUNC, the bottom four components of the SU4 of Patti Salam.
So it's basically a condensation of UNC through a condensate of Steve.
Have you worked out the phenomenology also?
No.
That's what we're doing.
Yeah. So I would say these two papers, the one with Albert and the one with Robert, those are basically the first two papers which came very close to each other to study one over NF. And as we were saying, here the goal was to go, you know, really as phenomenological as possible in a consistent way, and also to study the potential of the Higgs or the standard model Higgs. So it is, if you think about it, I keep the standard model Higgs as it is, and I just add, you choose how many flavors, vector five. But I'm not adding any other skills. In any other models, you have to do much more. Eh? This model with Steve.
But Francesco, honestly, I think what you're saying is a tiny bit misleading.
No, please.
Because maybe I misunderstood what Robert was saying, but I think he was very clear on that point, that in this model, the model with whatever values of NF you've been using, you cannot match the physical Higgs. You have to wait, Robert has been very clear on that, okay? Yeah. You have to use a different value for the Higgs coupling, which corresponds to a different mass.
So,
think the correct statement would be that for now there isn't.
No, Patti Salam is coming up then.
That is in the future totally fine. I'm sure you will explain that.
Well, the anticipation is what Zhiwei, I think, said during the discussion period with us. There are methods of radiatively breaking the symmetry in the Higgs sector that go beyond, they're sort of extensions of the Coleman-Weinberg method. Tom and I have worked on them for, I don't know how long, 15 some odd 15 years anyway. And when you do these, you find the actual Higgs coupling at the energies we looked at can be larger than what people traditionally think it should be, and you can keep the Higgs mass. Now, I agree, it's a promissory note. We were expecting when we did this, this could carry through. So I'd sort of say it's halfway what you say.
I think the hard answer is no. Because the result, I mean, if you show
it's
me
one
the
half
result,
of no equal to yes or no. But anyway,
no, sorry, okay. I mean,
but,
no, if this is about stock taking, then the answer is no.
We have shown that the standard model heat
on the level of the results which are available. I mean,
but there are two things. One is the technique.
But I appreciate that you point out that you have clear ideas on how that can be remedied, which would be great. Okay,
so,
but as for now, it isn't.
So my dream.
There is a reason for that.
Exactly. So my dream that has been shattered is that take the standard model heat as it is, add a bunch of vector like particles, and everything fixes it. That was the deal. We have proven that this does not happen. That is a lot of what you say. So if you want the proof with Robert, but also the proof with Albert, what we will learn in the process is that we actually now have to be the functions for visual cavities are larger. So we have to learn how to do that. This is a lesson we have done, and we just have improved our technology part of the teams if we were anything wrong. So this is also to Alberto's merit and these three guys here. So this now we have larger enough, but the technology, the hope was to do extending the standard model as minimal as possible. For just vector lectures. This doesn't work in the most straightforward way. So you need to extend the heat sector. So we will learn the heat sector must be extended in that case. It was an obvious. We could have been lucky to do with a bit of bunch of leaks. I don't think that there was a theorem they couldn't do. So this is a fact, but the technology of the larger net were introduced here for Fermat. And that's a fact. Here was introduced the idea of radiative symmetry breaking, and here we use perturbation theory to go beyond that. All of them have failed, and what I mean failed to date, to have a phenomenologically viable extension of the standard model, which is actually safe. By safe means in all capital. Including the X, however, what I mean failed means with the tries we have made. If you just to Patrice Alami, you can do it. Just show you that. Here it's not failed in the sense you all the couples get a fixed point. You prove that because you start from a deal which had fixed points there. But there are really a lot of now. States, and we had to find a way to break all this stuff, and we didn't do the phenomenology as you can imagine. But in the deep UV, this theory is safe with all the. Other than the paper with Steve, this is uncontrovertible. We cannot disagree on that. So the first example where all the couplings were indeed safe is the paper with Steve. A construction, we studied the theory with Steve. But it's not. Phenomenologically, if you want, there's a better feeling yet. It's just a given more. All the others are all proof of concept. We have proved that these carbons are safe. Ever, even from the outset. So I'm just stating the facts, I'm not saying one of the
you have to look into the papers before you can make these statements in that form.
But
with your evaluation.
In your paper, Daniel,
do you have any model which will all captains were safe, including this cell captain?
The paper has investigated a specific aspect.
Yeah, fine, but I want to generate it. I don't want a politician, I want the answer. Yes or no?
You are a politician, Francesco.
Yeah, we all are. But the answer is, it didn't achieve that. But this didn't achieve it. I'm not serious. We tried.
These are viable models, which have fixed points. And you can run along these trajectories up until the planet scale. Okay, and so what we in that paper didn't include was the explicit treatment of the hypercharge. Although we have those results and we have presented them a year ago in Lyon. Okay, and so the only thing which is changing is that as soon as you do give hypercharge to these new fermions, what is going to happen is that the hypercharge becomes asymptotically free as a consequence of that fixed point. So,
how many Higgs do you have?
So from that angle, the U1 sector isn't of any trouble. Okay, what is potentially of some trouble is the Higgs sector, and that's qualitatively the same type of trouble, Robert, which you have encountered in your models for exactly the very same reason. And what I mean with this is that for exactly the same modification, I would find a totally trustworthy UV fixed point, as you did, had I the liberty of changing the Higgs mass. Yes? Which, however, I feel I haven't, right? But I could have made the very same plots, and then those very same equations would have had that very same fixed point. All of this for the very same reasons, the very same physics reasons, because it is the particular structure of the Higgs sector which dictates the unavailability of the fixed point you and I have been after. Okay, and Francesco's conclusion that maybe this is indicating that we need some more new meta or new structure to help the Higgs stabilize.
Something has to happen in the Higgs sector.
Yeah, so I would maybe like to add a slightly different aspect to the discussion. So to my mind, quantum gravity will kick in at the Planck scale with some effect. And so, therefore, maybe the question, one possible question wouldn't necessarily be whether standard model extensions do really become fully asymptotically safe, but whether there is a fixed point that is strongly infrared attractive, so that for phenomenological purposes, the relations that follow from that fixed point dictate phenomenology. And then maybe it's not that important whether the Higgs self-coupling already becomes safe or does not become safe, because there's an underpole beyond the Planck scale, but the question is whether the critical exponents are large enough so that from a large class of possible UV models, you are attracted to this fixed point, and the universality of the fixed point then determines phenomenology.
You say that you
so
rescue.
I would say this is from a fan.
Yeah. So you say whether combining these two would rescue the Higgs.
So I'm saying I don't know what happens beyond the Planck scale. Maybe it's asymptotically safe with quantum gravity, maybe not. Maybe it's a string model. But the question is that sets some initial conditions for all couplings at the Planck scale. And then if you're in this class of theories where you do have such fixed points, are you then attracted towards them so that for practical purposes they do actually dominate infrared physics?
That's it. Anyone else more problems?
So can I ask about dark matter again?
Yeah.
You guys didn't talk about it. I think only Astrid mentioned it, right? So. So do you guys get basically dark matter candidate in these models or not, or do you not care about it?
I mean, not to be negative, but it's not very hard to get there.
It's not
very hard to have dark matter.
It's not. The question is, why would it be a stable?
Why do you have a cement? You can add the neutral part. I cannot see that it's very hard to get that matter.
Okay. So you think these are unrelated matters getting us more safety and dark matter?
First, you have to have all the couplings going to the fixed point. So
You are buying the model, let's say, and then you think about that matter. So.
Yeah, I think it's a secondary tool. But
it's important. It's important.
It's not really. First of all, once you have them, there are probably so many stakes that might not be very hard to get. That's not the
We have to look into it.
Yeah. It does. What I can say is that I think we can also agree that you need a lot of states. There's so many states that change in principle. You change in principle also the free energy. Yeah. They change in principle also the freeze out because of that. Because it's based on the freeze out temperature depends on the number of states you have at a high energy. This increased dramatically. By several hundreds. So it changes the freeze-out.
What's the freeze-out? It's more and not overproduced. Usually you have a candidate is not that difficult. So.
But I mean, similar. So you need to have a stable particle. So you want a symmetry that protects it. But it's saying the fact that you do have this extra symmetry doesn't affect anything else. In the RG, for example. So I mean, I find that hard to believe.
Again, you find what hard to believe?
I mean, usually, the symmetry structure of a theory is what tells you what happens in it, but then you're saying you develop a theory independent of that symmetry structure, and then by the data by hand, and it doesn't change, which is kind of weird.
No, but I mean, yes. So if you look at
so what symmetry? Okay, and it's not anomalous.
No.
Right. So
it's discrete symmetries are not.
Okay.
At least not that. They don't have continuous global anomalies, nor gauge anomalies. So that, as I say, I don't want to look too superficial because it's not my style. But I think it's not a concern to the extent, since you have, you can change. For example,
okay, this large NF thing is very stable. All I need to do that at the coupling, enough states that this becomes big, right? There can be more states, not less, and I only allow some to decay, some not to decay. In fact, I could even have multi-component aftermath, it doesn't need to be only just one path. So here, I can change all the bounds, even from direct detections by physically allowing dark matter to be multi-component state. All the bounds I can from dark matter are based on a number or something. Single particle dominating. And the dark matter, I don't see no need here about that. I can have 20 species of them. A fluid made of 20 fluids. When you do that, you direct detection, right off. Direct detection, yes. So this is, as I said, it's dark matter is a murky business when it comes to constraints. It constrains them as simple as possible. Dark matter, incarnation, one particle doesn't go. So all I'm saying, it doesn't seem to be per se an obvious super constraint on your theory.
Well, it's not until you actually try to do it. I don't know. People in.
No, but we tried to do that in the theory of the at least mentioned
it. So, the more mainstream people who develop supersymmetric models, they have all these constraints like nationalists and then having dark matter candidates, and then there are also stuff constraints. And because you cannot have any dark matter models because you have lots of bounds on.
Okay, can I give an example?
Sure.
Imagine that I have a simplest miracle, and I couple to the standard model in
a dark sector. It's a gauge theory which is asymptotically free, for which the dark matter candidates is in the MEV region, the same. So I add another coupling which is asymptotically free, so it doesn't change my asymptotically free thing. And I couple to the standard model with some basic Higgs. then I just need to check what happened to that cup, provided the other one is safe. That's a very simple. But it doesn't prove that it's automatically safe, but it's a very tiny modification to the standard model.
Right.
Where the dark matter is basically just simply another asymptotically free group. That is.
We generally want dark matter to be inert, right? It's,
yeah.
It's not supposed to self-interact or they.
No. Yeah,
if it does, not much of it does.
Yeah, no. But
so that's a constraint.
No, but I'm talking about the scene. Yeah, sure. But I work on the scene. It's probably interacting massive particles coming from the fact that which are light. They come, for example, a SUN gauge theory, which is SU4 breaks to SP4 as a global symmetry group, and then the Wedzono-Witten term allows you for the simplest miracle what equilibrate dark matter are indeed the self are the dark matter changing number that come from the Wedzono-Witten term, where you have, for example, the pi, let's say that you have an SU2 gauge theory, where you have two direct flavors, let's call it psi dark, left, psi dark right. Now, in SU2, there is no difference between left and right, so let's consider the single psi wild term. And the fundamental of SU2. There are flavor in there here, and these are exactly four of them. So you have indeed four wild terms, which correspond to direct. This. And now when psi commands, the original U1, where if this were SU3, this will be, this contains clearly SU2, cross SU2, cross U1 variant. It's a global symmetry because it's a pseudo real representation. Now you have psi condensate, and out of that, the SU4 breaks to SP4. This is logarithmic to SO6, breaking to SO5, which means you have 5 boson bosons. And now I declare this 5 boson bosons to be my dark matter. How do I equilibrate with that matter? But there is a Wedzono-Witten term.
You can push
the board.
Ah.
Mm-hmm.
And now how do you create this? The Lagrangian of dark matter is the standard phi Lagrangian. Base in your new dragon plus base from M dragon plus dragon. But there is one other term of the next leading order, which is written in written form is the Wedzono-Witten term. So this is actually action plus a gamma Wedzono-Witten term, which is NC, which is 2. NC over 240 pi. Then is the integral on the boundary of 5 dimensions of the trace. Alpha times alpha times alpha. Or phi, where alpha is the 1/4, u minus 1, u. Got it in the x mu because I'm, let's say, I'm an educated phenomenologist. This process, when you write it down, it has a pi, it goes into pi. Also known as a number changing operator. So actually, I can have a dark matter equilibration within dark matter by allowing a process of that. It's called a number, so dark matter and number changing through this operator. And the only thing you have to worry about is that it will reheat the thermal bath so much that you know, you will actually make it. Not very good for the standard model. So it's like having a cup of coffee that gets too hot. So then you have to, the way to cure it, you have to kind of, how do you say,
blow
on it.
Yeah.
So what you do blowing it, you couple to that very, very weakly some standard model particle, so that keeps the heat away. That's the system. And that's the probability factor in couple with the standard model. It's a simple thing. The cabin is very, very small. As long as the blowing is sufficiently key, then it can actually put it down. And I'm coupling this to, for example,
so how does it couple to standard model?
Yeah, so this is here in Heldum, and now there are, this is what made this paper, you know, very well known. There are, I mean, we did the next video or the competition because it was from the original paper that was referring on PRL. So actually we were able to redo. And then there are numerologists. it's actually enough to die. So, so basically, one way to do that is, for example, this psi, you have a heat, another scalar, and then this scalar, for example, is a portal coming to the standard model of Higgs. Not forbidden by anyone. That's one way. All I'm saying is that I don't know, limited imagination when it comes to that. But as Alberto said, let me first consult a model with safe and then I'll worry about how to call something. Mm-hmm. But I just give you an example where dark matter could be played on its own. And only some model is important only to blow on the dark matter coffee. On the dark coffee so that it doesn't keep heating up.
So what says the self-coupling of dark matter in this?
Oh, that's beautiful. So it's the decay constant of the pion. Right? This is the dimension of that. But of course here is pi square. That is this is the new strongly coupled scale. And now what fixes the particular strength are the other. So you have two competing processes. Pi pi into pi pi. It comes from the computing amplitude. This is S over f plus square. And this you have to compare to this attached degree the dark matter or the darkest image if you want. And so these two processes have to balance against each other. This depends on the number of columns. So we can show what kind of number of columns you need. And then the self interaction of this does then have to be too big for, as you can read, as Rob, you mentioned, the self interaction doesn't have to be. So that was basically the interactions and the overall mass of your dark matter.
So then what stops them decaying? I mean pions decay.
This is actually, yeah, so why this doesn't decay? The reason why this doesn't decay is that it keeps regenerating itself. But this is not a decay process, it's just pi goes into itself.
But I mean, if you want to, I mean, the pi's are supposed to be dark matter.
But they're fundamental scalars.
No, they're not
fundamental scalars. No. I thought they were the.
They're not a couple. You're not. I'm not. In the standard model, pi zero deviates into 2-4.
Yeah.
Here I'm not coupling to 2-4.
I mean, so but the Goldstone mode, the Goldstone mode.
That's deep.
And the symmetry is not anomalous or something. It's nothing.
It's just symmetry.
All right.
And these pi's are the pi's of the Goldstone.
Yeah.
They're the five Goldstones.
Exactly. Because if you would have exactly stable pions, if we're not for coupling the photons.
So, actually, I guess we're pretty much out of time. I think this coupling of quantum gravity to the standard model merits more attention, maybe in the final discussion as to how to do that. But one other question, if it has a quick answer, what about... are axions a trivial part of this picture? I mean, you have this mechanism, the old Pache-Quinn mechanism for axions, and that presumably must do something to asymptotic safety. I gather it probably doesn't do much, or people would have worried about it. But I mean, have you given any thought to?
I have so many, but and many words. The axion is not one of that. In the sense that I worked on the axion. The point of the axion is that, do you care about the hierarchy? That's the question. You don't care about the axion. So you can just forget about the axiom too, because it's just a number you took.
Well,
yes.
I mean,
it
solves the CP problem.
It's not
it has
problem.
To be fine-tuned
yeah.
to 1 part in 10 to the 9 or whatever it
which
is.
Which is much less than the fine-tuning in the mass of the leaf.
Yes.
Constant.
Yes, but it's there.
No, okay, so the question is, so let me put this way. I don't see any reason not to try to solve the CP problem, but it goes under the same point made by Alberto. Let's first find in because it receives some model. And then perhaps this is, but it's enough. You can ask,
but Eugenics
and worry about that.
Yeah, there are some, I mean, because of course I'm more worried about, if you ask me, I'm more worried about biogenesis than the strong CP problem, right? Because the strong CP problem is not really a problem. I don't have to explain, in a sense, right? Well, I have to explain why it exists. So.
Well, you don't have to explain biogenesis. No.
You mean if you believe that there is an initial condition of the
yeah. Human?
Again, I once I just said what you said, Shaposnikov almost executed me. That doesn't mean he was right, but. Because the standard thing of what you're saying, which is I agree with you, is that typically the initial conditions are washed out by the fast expansion of the universe. That would basically make sure that the baryon asymmetry is actually washed away. Yeah? Once you have an initial condition in the universe, then typically this originally conserved quantum numbers are washed away by the fast expansion of the universe. If there's inflation, that is actually this is not a proof. This is just a law, right? So.
No, but you're saying that okay, you're putting something as inflation. You don't even need inflation for that. I mean, you could just set the initial condition of the universe at the Big Bang, and you don't even need inflation for that.
But from that, from what you're saying, that could be an initial condition for the strong CP problem. Just a number.
Yeah.
Any number is a number. So
I mean, we need dark matter.
Yeah, exactly.
I mean, it's not the number, it's the thing. So, but
so you're saying that you would put
The standard model is not a big problem because the source of CP violation is very small. But once you add a lot of new stuff,
it
could be really a problem. So first, one has to find totally safe standard model extension. Looks fine with the recent data. Then once sees if there is a strong CP problem. So standard model is really, really small. The running of theta is basically zero.
Mm-hmm.
I think it starts running at 7 loops or something like this. So technically it's natural.
Right. But again, this does not mean that we don't have to worry about this. And, you know, as a Jewish says, please write papers, cite us. So in that sense, it's not.
And that note,
yeah,
we probably should call it quits till the next thing at 2:30.